Crazy. Matt's unavailable. He had to attend to his family. So
that sounds really bad.
Yeah. It's not. I checked in on him. He's okay. Everything's okay.
I don't mean it sounds bad like medically. It sounds like, you know, fight.
No, there was no fight. Just so we're clear. Let's start, dude. Let's start where we left off. We're going right into it because we got to plow through these guys because they kind of suck.
Yeah, some of these guys I'm not interested in at all. So just name them.
So this is Rutherford B. Hayes.
He stopped Reconstruction. I mean, he stopped the slave. He was the one who the black people stuff.
So the reason he did that is because he was losing to a guy named Tilden in the election.
Yeah.
South Carolina, Louisiana, and Florida were the three southern states that still hadn't counted in the Electoral College.
Yeah.
The Republicans made a deal with the Democrats that said, we'll remove federal troops from those states if you give them to Hayes. And they did.
This is after the Civil War is over.
Yeah. They're
still having this fucking...
Well, that's because the KKK was... They were the real deal. They were fucking shit up. So they had the federal troops down there, which actually kind of helped the Republicans get votes. Because the black people were allowed to vote at this point. They had the troops down there protecting them to get their votes. And obviously, that's
what the guy said when the first guy pitched the name, Ku Klux Klan, the leader was K. K.
K. He liked
it. Bad joke. No, but it took him a year to warm up to it.
Okay.
K.
Okay, K. K.
Hey.
Republicans removed it. Basically, he ended Reconstruction. Hayes didn't do much, but this is actually important because this is kind of the end of it. Lowered presidential power quite a bit. These guys kind of took a back step to Carnegie, Rockefeller. This is the rise of these capitalists.
Yeah,
monsters.
Like now with the tech guys,
and we're still
with the Bezos and Elon Musk.
Elon Musk, I'm sick of
him. Oh my God.
What are you going to do if he bought it, right?
He bought Twitter. You guys.
What are you going to do?
He bought Twitter from those really great people that owned it. Like, now it's not going to be democracy because the people that owned it before were like a bunch of monks or something.
They were.
Yeah, they were a bunch of monks like that just knew everything.
Yeah.
And now he took it and he's a piece of shit.
Although I don't think.
Elon Musk.
I don't think Trump's getting back on, which is the only thing I wanted.
You don't know yet. You don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, he could be being coy.
Which one, Trump?
Trump. He could be like, maybe I'll come back.
Maybe I'll come back.
Maybe I won't. So this is big for Hayes. 1877.
Guys, the corporations started having more power than the federal government.
As soon as Hayes
took over.
Because the
fucking industrial north that plowed the south under, and then it just became belching machines.
Yeah.
And oil started.
Yeah.
And fuck it. It just, there was no, it was just steel, coal, oil.
Yeah.
What year are we at?
This is 1877.
Okay. So no cars or anything, but like, yeah, you close. Know, really big horses.
The horses got bigger.
Huge horses. They were like 10 feet wide horses then.
When Hayes took over
Penn
Railroad cut employee pay by 20%. So right away.
Motherfuckers. They were Amazon.
They Amazoned
out. Sons of bitches.
So there was strikes.
Yeah.
And then Hayes sent in federal troops to put down strikes. So the government sided with the corporations, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And they used, you know, they went down and shot guys that were striking with real troops.
Did you ever see? never mind.
Do it.
I'm just reacting to shit I don't know about. And
that's
by the
fine.
Way, this is what, when people get excited and like make pop-off remarks like I've been the last 2 minutes, it's because they actually don't know what they're talking about.
Well, we don't know.
I'm only hearing about it from you.
Yeah. But what a
and
good
you're looking
way
at your phone.
What a good way to put down a strike. Well, this is research I did, but that's all right.
Yeah, just you send in dudes to beat the shit out of the guys, the strikers.
Just open fire on them.
On which industries? The
mostly coal? Mostly railroad and coal. Yeah.
Did you ever see Matawan?
Mm-mm.
It's a great movie by John Sayles. Nobody knows who he is anymore.
Mm-mm.
Eight Men Out about the White Sox, the Black Sox.
No,
you know.
Oh, I know about it. Shoeless Joe.
Mm.
Yeah.
So he made a movie called
Meyer Lansky.
What?
Meyer Lansky. The Jews behind it.
I mean, he might have been Jewish.
Meyer Lansky.
I'm not going to say. He didn't do it because he was Jewish.
You think that's what Hitler
was
mad about?
He was Jewish because he did it.
Was what? The World Series?
That's what Hitler was mad about?
I think that might have been what he was pissed about.
About the Black Sox?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Right.
Um.
1880.
Matawan. So Matawan is a movie about the coal mining strikes and these guys that are trying to make a union, right? And so there's a kid in it who's a preacher. It's a common thing back then in rural places that a child would be a preacher, like a touched child who just can really fucking rock. Sam Kinison was a preacher when he was a kid.
No.
Yes. Did you know that?
No.
Sam Kinison was a preacher before Jesus he was a comic. Christ. Yes. And he did it. It was in his Lord. It sounded exactly like his act. Talking about Jesus Christ. If you don't find Jesus Christ in your heart, you know, you're one of those guys. He does it in one of his specials. He flashes into it for a moment.
Wow.
And they cut to his mother in the audience like this. And, you know, she loves him as a comic. She loved him as a preacher. But it's the same energy. Okay. So kid preachers.
Like there will be blood.
Huh?
Fucking, yeah.
Yeah. Paul Dano plays. He's not, I mean, younger than that. The kid's a teenager.
Yeah,
and he was the spiritual leader of the town, this little Pennsylvania where you're from, town of coal miners. And there is some guys start to organize to make a union. And the kid, the churches, which was common also, the church was in on the union, so they wanted to help the union. So the they are planning a walkout or a strike or something. So the company sent these two thugs, fucking, you know, guys with whiskey in their pocket. To go down there and go to the meeting to just eavesdrop on the plan. So they're sitting in the back of the church, just waiting to hear what the plans are. And the kid doesn't want them to know what the plan is. So he tells a biblical parable. He tells a story from the Bible that clearly to anyone who knows the Bible says what time and when and how they're going to do it. I don't know the Bible story, but the guys, it's a great moment because the guys in the back don't hear it because they're heathens. So they don't have any faith. So the truth is right in front of them and they can't even hear it. It's a great, great
That's moment. Nice.
That's my only thing on Rutherford B. Hayes.
That's good though.
So that's what, back then it was like this wicked, but it's important for, it's the through line of America because once we were all kind of thrown into the same place, then it was this thing about the industrial rich, the enormity all over the world too, in England also. With Oliver Twist and whatever, and when Dickens was writing, poor houses, workhouses. That's how they did it over there. And here we had a horrible version of the same thing. Three-year-old kids working in mills. And that against the impossibility of the capitalist structure and people trying to organize. And that union organization was not a sort of liberal ideal. It was the people. It was the working people.
Yeah. They had to do it.
They had to. They just needed leverage. That's all. They just needed capitalist leverage. They needed their part in the capitalist scheme that you had to, that you couldn't just get some other guys if these guys wouldn't do it for this price.
This is 10, 12 years after the Civil War.
That's right.
Half really these guys quickly. Were veterans. Like they had been through hell.
Yes.
And now they're coming home and they're like, actually, we're going to stop paying you guys as much because we're getting richer.
Every class of veterans has come home to total confusion and having no worth in the society that they protected.
They get
every
a parade,
class of veterans has gotten
a party.
Fucked.
Yeah.
Like all the guys, the blacklisted guys in Hollywood, these were all war veterans. These were all war heroes who came home and saw the country in tatters and saw had some ideas about another system and they got thrown in prison for it. But anyway, whatever. But so, yes, they, so that then, hey, and also we were pushing west.
Yeah.
So, cities like the Northeast and places like Chicago were like churning out black smoke and industry. And in the West, people were still gunfighting.
Yeah.
Folks absolutely were fighting each other with guns.
In the 1870s, it would have been the Indian, towards the end of the Indian Wars.
Yes.
I mean, the Comanche were still going wild. Like it was,
and
there's
all these American professional soldiers who fought in the Civil War, and some of them went west to fight the Indian Wars.
Yeah.
And then some of them said, fuck all this, and just became gunfighters and used this ability they had, which is exactly the same. It's why in Japan, I don't know if you watch Kurosawa movies, like samurai movies. You need to watch some things. Clint Eastwood?
Yeah.
Okay. Fistful of Dollars?
Yes.
Fistful of Dollars is a remake.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Of a Japanese movie, a black and white Japanese movie called Yojimbo. This is not Yo like Jimbo? A hidden idea. This is a true yeah. Yo Jimbo. Magnificent Seven.
Mm-hmm.
You saw it?
Yes. I used to watch all those fucking
things. Okay. So the Magnificent Seven is a remake
yeah.
of the Seven. Don't nod like you know it. You don't even know what I'm talking about.
Well, I'm the trying seven to get through the samurai. Fucking story, if I'm being honest.
What?
Nothing. Go ahead.
This is all has to do with the president.
All right. We got to plow through these.
I know.
We're still at Hayes, we'll and we're talking about Japanese we'll movies.
The Seven Samurai is this Magnificent Seven is a remake of The Seven Samurai. It's a total remake. Go watch these movies. It's amazing. Right. Because the Japanese, I think it was called the medieval era, it was the same as our West. Because they had these wars with samurai. And then all those dynasties like broke up and it became just chaos and corrupted. They all became corrupt.
Yeah.
And so the samurai just wandered the hills called Ronin. And they just became swords for hire.
Yeah.
And so that was just exactly the same as gunmen. So these great Japanese movies about these swordsmen who were just out for hire in these towns where there was no law were precise, perfect. I'm just saying that these kind of things happen all over the world.
Of course.
Okay, so Hayes. Who came after Hayes? Fuck Hayes. Who came after Hayes?
Garfield. 1880. Now, this is a good one.
Okay.
This is a cool fact about him. He could write Latin with one hand and Greek with the other simultaneously. And they were like, this guy's going to be, he's smart enough. He could be the guy to get us out. Because this is after.
So he was another nerd. He was a nerd.
He was a nerd. But this is after three straight duds. This is after Johnson, Grant, just fucking 200 days into office. He was on his way to a college reunion. He was at a DC rail
college state. Reunion.
He was going to a college reunion.
Wow,
there's like jello
shots and
he was gonna do yeah
beer bongs.
He was gonna go wild. He was shot twice in the back by a guy named Charles Guiteau, and Guiteau is very interesting. I looked into him last night. He was a moron. He was a traveling moron. Who thought that he had campaigned.
It's like a village idiot, but a traveling
he just like, he would go fail in town to town and everyone hated him.
Fail doing what?
He religious shit. He joined like a cult. They were like, this guy fucking sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Then he would be like, I'm going to start a paper for that cult in a different town. It would fail. Then he would go to like Boston and yell at people. It didn't work. He would just go around fucking up. And then he was in DC and he started trying to give speeches on behalf of Garfield. So then when Garfield won, he was like, I did that. I want to be the fucking ambassador to Paris. And they were like, no. And he was like, how about Vienna? They're like, who are you? So then he got angry and then he bought a gun. But he was kind of aware of the
what
significance
kind
of
gun
of it.
Did he use?
He bought it was a bulldog revolver. And it had, he couldn't afford the ivory handle.
Yeah.
So the guy selling the gun was like, all right, you can just, I'll give you the one with the ivory handle. And he's like, this is going to be in a museum.
Is like, it?
Somebody lost it. There's a picture of it. Yeah. But he shot him twice. And then he
How
yelled.
Did he get close to him?
I think back then you could just walk.
Walk up
There was no Secret
President.
Service. You could just walk up behind him. And he yelled like, I'm here for Arthur, who was the vice president.
Chester Arthur.
Yeah. He was like, Chester Arthur is the real president.
Because he's going to make me ambassador.
He killed him. Garfield died 2 months later. From these wounds,
so he's then the fourth guy. So he was the second guy to get killed in office.
Yes, this is after Lincoln.
Yep, second
then
guy
Garfield.
To get killed in office. Okay,
Chester Arthur takes over, doesn't do shit. 1884 is now comes Grover Cleveland. This is the first major media election. Papers are now starting to be partisan. Mm-hmm. Cleveland. Cleveland gets accused of having a kid out of wedlock. James Blaine was a crook, whatever. Cleveland barely wins. He hated the press. Mm. One thing that's cool is he married a 21-year-old.
Ow!
Yeah, that's pretty good. Then he won the popular vote and lost the electoral to Benjamin Harrison. His hot 21-year-old wife said, don't fucking move anything in the White House. We're going to be back in 4 years.
Oh.
Pretty hot. Benjamin Harrison.
She's still around, probably.
Grandson of William Henry Harrison. He didn't do anything. He actually did nothing. He would leave the office at noon every day and just go hunt.
Just go upstairs?
Yeah, just hang out.
Okay, so him and, yeah.
So this is still just a run of horrific presidents.
Stinks. All these guys
just
stink.
Destroying
We're
the
marching
country.
Through the 18, there yes. are late 1800s.
1893, Cleveland gets reelected.
Yeah.
People liked his hot daughter and now their new daughter or his hot bride.
Wife, yeah.
And now their new daughter, Baby Ruth.
Okay.
You know the candy bar?
Yeah, but isn't that
named no. That's I think it's Babe named Ruth? After their daughter.
You don't think it's named after Babe Ruth?
You gotta look that up, dude. Come
on. Feels closer to true than did they even have candy bars back then?
Look, man.
You know what?
Don't Mounds, punch holes in
you know who Mounds was named after?
Ew.
Your mother's cunt.
I had a feeling. I had a strong feeling. Yeah. What?
This is the candy bar was named after Ruth Cleveland.
I like that. It
took place in 1921.
Okay. Check Mounds.
Okay.
Check Mounds.
See if Mounds was named after my mother's cunt.
Okay.
Well. I mean, it's just sad, Shane.
What if it says Mrs.
Shane?
What if it says Mrs. CK? What if there's a twist?
Maybe I'm projecting. It could be.
That gets it. All right. But this is these guys are destroying the country. Unemployment's at 18%.
Right. Yeah.
Great. There's a depression. McKinley comes into office 1897. He did his campaign entirely from his front porch in Ohio.
Yes.
Which is pretty funny.
And he's the first Ohio guy, isn't he?
Grant? I think he's Grant
is from Ohio. That's right. But there was like a run of Ohio
yeah,
dudes.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
straight through, but there was a lot of Ohio dudes.
All these guys.
Cleveland, okay, so yeah. McKinley's from Ohio.
He was the last president who served in the Civil War. He didn't want war. Everybody seemed to... His whole thing was cultivating good press. He was the first guy that seemed to master that.
Yeah.
He understood it because Cleveland before him fucking hated it.
So let's get to Teddy, okay? Because he's the only guy that I...
Well, this is good, something though.
Important to say about McKinley?
Yeah, I mean, He started 1898, the Spanish Empire was falling. Cuba was open. There's Cuban rebels. Yeah. He didn't want to, but eventually got talked into it because guys like William Randolph Hearst, all the major media people were like, we got to go to war. Fuck that. So he sent the USS Maine into Cuba's port. Somehow it exploded. No one knows how. Mm. 250 guys died. Media demanded war with Spain. That's where the Remember the Maine, all that shit comes from. McKinley created the Situation Room in the White House. That was pretty tight, so that they could, It's exciting stuff.
Nice work.
This is a 10-week war.
Yeah,
the U.S. fucks them up. In his thing, he annexed Puerto Rico in the Philippines. Also annexed Hawaii in 1898. 1900, he wins the election. This time with his vice president Teddy Roosevelt.
Yes,
and we can get into Teddy, dude.
So Teddy. Fascinating thing about Teddy. First of all, Teddy was born deformed.
Yeah.
His lungs and his organs were too small for his chest cavity. And his doctor told his father, he's got to stay in bed and he'll probably die in his teens.
Yeah.
So he told Teddy, well, you weren't born with much of a body, so you'll have to make your body. And Teddy just... became insane and walked up the Matterhorn, just walked up it.
Dude.
He was a ball of insane energy. He would just do anything.
Yeah, he was kind of terrifying.
He was. And he was kind of an animal.
Yeah.
But also very intuitive, very brilliant guy. Like he was the first guy that they did like caricatures of. Like he saw, because he had his crazy big teeth and his glasses. So he was the first guy that they drew like this funny version of him and he liked it. He thought that's cool because they're thinking about me. The fact that they're caricaturizing me means that I'm an icon. I'm something above, you know, and he liked it. So he let that proliferate. But the other thing about him is that he didn't like being in charge of things. He liked being number two. So like they asked him to run New York City Police Department and he became a commissioner. He's like, I'll just be one of the commissioners.
Yeah.
He was like number two. But he ran everything from that number two position because he knew number one is like the shittiest job in any place. So he started, I don't know, I'm uneducated and I read this a long time ago, but I think he invented the police academy because New York, or at least he put one in New York City. In New York City, to be a cop, you had to be in a family of cops or you had to pay somebody because it was the easiest job in the world. You just walked around in the uniform and cops used to sleep like in alleys and they didn't do it. They never stopped crime.
Yeah.
And they just get paid to protect one gang or the other in New York City. And they were all fat and often quite old.
So Teddy said, yeah, there's an age restriction. You can't be old. He said, you have to be in shape. You have to go to an academy and you have to train to be a cop. You have to be taught. You have to have an education. You get taught lots of things in an academy. It's a school. And so he started that. Police department hated him. He pushed it through. He reformed the New York Police Department to the point, and this is where he was better than other politicians. He wanted to test them and show that they were honest. And the only way to do that is to have them enforce a law that everybody hates. So I think the law was that you couldn't drink on Sundays.
Sunday.
So he had the cops go around New York City and bust anybody who was drinking on a Sunday. And 100% of New Yorkers hated him for this.
Yeah.
And they ran him out of town on a rail. And he was fired. But to him, it was like mission accomplished. Yeah. Teddy would do everything until he was despised. Like he would go past the point because his goal was the goal. The goal is the cops are better, not everybody loves Teddy.
Yeah.
So then every time he got fired, he would just go to Montana and live in a fucking hut and kill buffalo. And then they went and people would send emissaries and say, please run in this company. He would always say no. And then they came to him and asked him to run the U.S. Navy. He did a similar thing to the United States Navy, which I know less about.
Yeah. He was obsessed with the war in 1812. I think he wrote a book on it.
Yeah.
Was how we could have won that quickly. We almost lost it because we didn't have a Navy ready. Mm-hmm. And his whole thing was we need to have a huge Navy.
That's right.
Like the war, it's actually pretty sick. He gave a speech to, I think, either West Point or the Naval Academy where he was like, it was probably the Naval Academy. He was like, there's a vacuum right now. England's failing. There needs to be one leader.
Someone needs to be the
somebody in the world.
Naval power.
Yeah.
He did two things that have lasted till now. I mean, a lot of things, but two are the national park system.
Yeah.
No one even thought of that. That didn't exist. The idea of like the government should protect vast tracts of land and not allow anybody to fuck with them. No one on the earth did that. Teddy Roosevelt invented that idea. So that's exists because of him. They still don't have it. In the Amazon, they don't do it. That's why it's a nightmare, because there's no laws down there that say you can't do this. Everyone just wishes they wouldn't. So Teddy did that, and he made us a naval power. Then he was vice president, which he didn't want. He was like drafted into running for vice president.
Let's talk about, this was him in the Spanish War.
Yes.
What's it called? Hill.
San Juan Hill.
Yeah.
And he went over. Yeah. He went over the hill.
He's a dickhead.
Yeah. He was nuts.
He got everybody killed.
Yes, he did. He was crazy.
What was cool was the Rough Riders were cool. It was all Old West guys.
Yes.
Like gunslingers, buffalo hunters, Native Americans mixed with New York Irish cops.
Uh-huh.
Like just the nastiest fucking dudes.
Well, and back then you could make a platoon.
Yeah.
Like you could tell the army, like, I'm going to make a platoon.
Yeah, he just bought a platoon.
I bought some guys. I brought some guys. We call ourselves the Rough Riders. And the army's like, okay, you're part of the army.
He was 40.
Yes.
And he had a family. He had a sick wife and a family. And they were like, what are you doing? Why the fuck would you be going to war?
Yes.
And he's like, because he wanted to go to war.
He was also a rich patriarch. Yeah. In Oyster Bay, he had this beautiful house, a big family. He was responsible to a lot of people.
Yeah.
He took over when his dad died. He became like the man of a very sprawling family.
His brother's great.
Teddy's brother is the
one I kind of was like. So in the beginning,
what was his brother's name?
I don't remember.
Was it Kermit? Was it another Kermit?
Kermit might be a son.
Kermit was his son.
Yeah.
He went to the Amazon later with his son, Kermit. They went on little rowboats up the Amazon River and almost died. He got malaria and Teddy weighed like 80 pounds. This is after he was president twice. This is in retirement. Like he named certain tracts of the Amazon River.
He was crazy. He was
fucking nuts. So wait. So then when he was.
His brother was a drunk who. Elliot was out of control. He was the one who was supposed to be the good son.
Right.
But he got like, he just did what anybody would do if they were a Roosevelt.
Number one always fucks up. Partied. Again, that's why Teddy was the number two son. It's like Joe Kennedy. John F. Kennedy was supposed to be Joe Kennedy, his brother.
Donald Trump. Didn't he have an older brother?
He had brother John.
Who drank himself.
Yes. That's what old brothers do.
Roosevelt.
Jimmy Carter's brother, Billy. drank himself to death.
Didn't Clinton have one?
Roger Clinton was younger than him.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, a lot of these guys have older brothers who just couldn't make it.
But it's funny how his brother ended up in like a mental hospital in like Paris. According to this documentary, he was drinking like 6 bottles of brandy a day. He was just
not bad.
And then the way he died was like he had delirium from the alcohol, and he was trying to jump out of a window, but he kept just running up and down the steps.
And he had a heart attack.
He had like an aneurysm and a seizure.
Okay, so when Teddy was here's a great story about Teddy. Shit. The way where teddy bears come from. Okay. Teddy Roosevelt was in Pennsylvania. Again, your fucking state. Might have been
incredible
Virginia.
State.
Not much difference. So Teddy was there and on tour as president. And there were some people, you know, every time the president comes to a town, they always like they get so excited and they plan stuff. So they knew he loves hunting bear.
Yeah.
So when Teddy hunts bear, he's way up in a mountain alone with a gun, and it's him and the bear, and he might die.
Yeah.
But these people think he's like a gentleman hunter. So they take him, we're going to take you to hunt some bear, and they give him a gun, and they take him into the woods, and there's a bear chained to a tree, a little bear who's kind of emaciated, and it was chained to a tree, and they go, shoot him. And Teddy breaks down into tears.
Yeah.
And he says, for the love of God, let that poor animal go. And there was some journalist there who drew a picture that was like a little sketch that was in the paper of Teddy with this and this little bear. And it was, people put that together, Teddy and bear, and started making these stuffed bears that looked like Teddy because of this.
Jesus Christ.
So that his first day as president.
Yeah. Oh, well, let's McKinley gets shot.
Yeah.
He got shot by an anarchist named Leon Czolgosz.
Sure.
Whatever. But it was interesting. I think him or...
So now we've lost 3 presidents. Yeah,
3 guys got shot in the 1800s. So in the last 40 years.
Yes.
And the people are like, this was a gunshot. Today he would have survived in 2 days.
Yeah.
So like Roosevelt found out about it. He was out doing some fucking hiking bullshit.
Right.
Somebody came running up the hill like, he's shot. You're the president. They get there. The guy's fine. He died from infection.
Yeah. A lot of these are bad. This is bad medicine.
Yeah.
Back then you could cut the president on the finger to death.
Yeah.
Because of how bad medicine was and how infected wounds got.
Yeah.
So, okay. So McKinley's dead.
They're in Buffalo, New York. He gets sworn in.
Yeah.
Teddy's the president.
Teddy's the president of the United States. His first day at the White House, he's like walking into the White House, and he runs into Booker T. Washington, a black fella.
Hulk Hogan.
Why is it Hulk Hogan?
It's Booker T. He's a black wrestler.
Oh, okay.
He is. So it's an iconic moment.
Booker T. Washington says, hey, I have some issues I want to talk about. And Teddy says, come to dinner. Just come to the house tonight. Come to dinner. First night in the White House, he hosts a black man. Never happened in the history of the country, a black man being a guest for dinner at the White House. The whole country goes nuts. It's the first event of Teddy's presidency is that the Senate, and I could be having some of these things wrong, but the Senate unanimously censured the president for having, there was nobody in the mix. It like if it was happened today and even like fucking AOC was like, oh, no, you don't have him in the White House. Everyone like all the way across the board said that's not OK. And they censured him. They tried to throw him out. They're like, maybe we should impeach him. But the best thing they could do is censure him for having had a black man as a guest in the White House. So this was what Teddy did. This is the kind of guy he was. He had him to dinner constantly, and he went on a speaking tour with him. He made him like elevated him more and more because he was just like, you know, fuck you guys.
Yeah. Oh, there's one more I wanted to say about the Spanish Civil War. That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
When they took that hill, he was on his horse. Everybody else was like, so they took one hill and then he saw San Juan Hill or whatever it's called. And he was like, we're going to take that. He went off by himself.
Right.
5 guys followed him. 3 of them got shot.
Yeah, because he went all of a sudden. Yeah. He was like, we're doing this. Yeah, and they had to scramble.
He didn't order anything.
No, a hail of gunfire.
So then he came back, and one of the guys was laying down. And he was like, how are you going to lay down when I'm up on this horse? Get up. And as soon as the guy stood up, he got shot in the head, killed instantly. Then he led the charge, and they were all, you know, a lot of them died.
But some of them could have been president.
He did it purely out of, like, I wanted to be in war, which is really a terrible, terrible thing.
Terrible.
Terrible leader. For that.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
But he won.
He won. It worked out.
It did work out.
And then when he was... Another great story about him that I heard was that he would fight whoever was the heavyweight champ.
Oh, yeah.
He would bare knuckle.
Yeah.
So, like, Jack Johnson, I think, had just won the championship, so he was invited. He doesn't know this was going to happen. He's invited to the White House. So, I don't know if they had an Oval Office yet.
Yeah.
Comes into the Oval Office.
I believe they did.
And Teddy was like, oh, terrific. And he fucking starts. And Jack Johnson's like, what are you doing? He's like, Come on now. Because to him, it was like it made sense that the president should fight with the heavyweight champion.
Dude.
And he fought him, and Johnson blinded him in one eye. And Teddy begged him, please don't tell anybody, because I'll get it. Because Teddy, he's not supposed to do this. So he used to get people to leave the room, and then he fought him, and he was always blind in that eye, which he was always in denial about, because he was sort of ashamed that he did this thing.
Yeah, so, this guy's insane.
He was nuts. Again, to me, I'm approaching these guys as characters, as fascinating individuals.
But he did a ton of great shit, and then he started going after all these trusts. He started breaking all these monopolies. He started... Right. So he's the first president from this fucking lull of just garbage presidents to start to actually, like, reform shit.
That's right.
And start to really...
Well, that's what he became believed. Like, when he was governor of New York, he was doing something that was, like, huge. And one of his aides said, if you pull this off, you could run for president. And Teddy snapped at him and said, don't ever in your life say something like that to me. He said, if I... add my own career and potential to the math of my decisions, then it'll destroy everything. He said, we never, never think about my career. And he really did live that way.
Yeah. He personally wanted to be, though. That's funny. Like, he wrote to his lady, because he was in D.C.
Yeah.
Maybe before he was the vice president. Mm. He was in New York. That's when he became the vice president. He was in New York, and that guy... that he was in his political party, I forget the guy's name, was like, send him to D.C. I don't want him in New York anymore.
Yeah.
He's a fucking nightmare.
No, he was He's fighting everybody. Comfortable place he could possibly be, but president of the United States.
But he was like, every time I walk past the White House, like, I could be there someday.
Yes.
Like, he had that in there, but...
The greatest piece of film on Teddy is that he was the first president to fly in an airplane. And there's film of it. He went in with a hot rod guy who was like a barnstormer guy.
Yeah.
And it's just a biplane. And they show him, you know, it's shitty black and white footage, but he gets in the plane and it corkscrews and does. He was already retired. He was kind of older. And you see him get out of it and you see him go like, that was crazy. But that's how much of a badass he was.
Youngest president also.
Youngest one.
42 or 43. Yeah.
Yes. Won two terms.
And then elected.
And then left. Then he decided not to run the third time because of he didn't like Republican politics. And then he ran for a third term after skipping a term.
And he split the vote.
What was it called? The party? Bull Moose or something like that?
Oh, yeah. We're skipping the party. He gets shot.
Yes, he got, shot point blank in the chest. And he had a big, thick thing of his speech.
Yeah.
And he had something else metal. I forget what was that. Something like that. It wasn't a flask, I don't think. But he had some shit in his pocket.
The bullet got lodged into his chest, though.
Right. It went into his chest. It didn't get into his heart.
It didn't break his muscle.
No.
It stuck there. And then he apparently cleared his throat.
Finished the speech.
And he said, it's going to take a lot more to kill a bull moose.
That's what he said.
Which is pretty fucking wild. Getting shot in the middle of a speech, clearing your throat.
It's a great moment.